McLaughlin.
Well, you're doing a great job.
How much do you weigh?
I would say 230. But please don't tell anyone.
Your hair is gray?
Gray-brown. It's getting gray.
And what color are your eyes?
Brown.
Okay, now. Been arrested in San Francisco?
I have.
Frank 67, can I run a subject, please?
Do you have ID on this?
10-4, you ready?
Last name Norris.
Nora,
Ocean, Robert, Sam Edward. First name Robert. White male, 53047.
Male, protested, yep, but there's information on the document. If you don't, then it'll go on for a while.
What about these guys? Aren't they going to get ticketed?
You don't. These guys? What do you think I'm doing right now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Do you have idea on that?
So, in fact, the officers are ticketing all four of us, or at least three of us.
The only right to citation is just us.
Some people kind of, when they see us come in at 10 and start signing people,
I was really unaware that this was an ordinance, but that's okay. Whatever you think best.
You're here for some reason, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a reporter.
Right. You're a political activist.
Yes.
I thought so.
No, because it was pretty obvious that you were there.
Okay. There you go, right here on the X.
And there I was, caught with both feet in Golden Gate Park in beautiful San Francisco. That's last night, November 5th, 1997, I guess we're in. Wow. It was quite a day. And you're going to get all the details plus more on Bathrobe Spears Broadsides coming your way here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. It's going to be happening for the next 2 hours from 6 to 8. And you can't call in yet, but I hear from the V-Man that it's going to be phone line tomorrow, maybe. And that's going to be quite a change for the show. No more will I be able to blast you night after night with no response. I am going to get some real opposition. I hope all you right-wingers out there, all you left-wingers, all you no-wingers, all you wing-dingers are going to give a call and just set me straight as to what's really going on here in Santa Cruz and just what I should be focusing on around civil rights for poor people, for people on the streets, and actually for all of us, because police go after the poor, but they can also come after you if you look at them cross-eyed. And that, unfortunately, seems to be the case here in Santa Cruz and in San Francisco in 1997. A bit of background on that ticket. San Francisco, if you've been following the papers, has been sort of under siege. At least the poor in San Francisco and Golden Gate Park have been taking it on the chops and up the yams after an article by Mark Garcia, Ken, a Chronicle, kind of what you'd call him, smear artist, came out with a front page story alleging that San Francisco was full of, the Golden Gate Park, full of parolees and squatters and drug users and needles and fire starters, and it's created this great wave of hysteria which apparently blew right into Whitewash Willie Brown, mayor of San Francisco, and today bowled him over. Initially, he resisted it. He protested that there was a bunch of media hype and that the Golden Gate Park was no worse than ever, and he was doing a good job of law enforcement, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to hear interviews from the park, and we're going to go into some of the background of what's happening in Golden Gate, because, well, if you've been following my show, you'll know that I'm interested in what's been going on up in Eureka at the South Spit Jetty, and of course we'll be updating that with all the homeless that lived there for a decade were just unceremoniously ousted. Their vehicles, their houses, in essence, their homes, either put into storage, destroyed, put into a status where they cannot use them because they're unregistered vehicles and they're no longer able to use them in an area where they won't be ticketed. So they're going to lose their houses, they're going to lose their lodging, all because of a, get this, health hazard. And of course, the health of the homeless is what's going to suffer once this happens, actually as it is happening up in Eureka. And it's spreading all over. We actually went up to San Francisco last night, myself and three other homeless activists, en route from San Jose, where, again, if you've been following the show, you know that San Jose Food Not Bombs, which serves twice a week in St. James Park in San Jose downtown, has now been subject to police ultimatums that they will either find permits or go away. And, of course, that sounds reasonable to the average listener. Shouldn't those who serve food to the public have permits? Well, now that depends on what kind of permit you're talking about and what the real motivation is behind asking for a permit. And we'll be going into some of that, too. You'll be hearing interviews with people in St. James Park and San Jose activists discussing what's going on in that neck of the woods. Plus, of course, here in Santa Cruz this last week, we had a city council meeting, an odd one, because you don't usually have a council meeting on the first Tuesday of the month. But this time we did. We had an afternoon meeting, talked about a few issues, and David Silva persuaded me, that's Green Party activist David Silva, and Sleeping Ban Repeal Committee coordinator David Silva, to come down to this city council meeting and talk about some issues, because what was on the agenda was police abuse. Actually, not police abuse. Well, yes, actually police abuse. Money for police to do more abusing. In this case, they get to abuse the public pocketbook with a $68,000 sculpture in front of the new multi-million dollar police station. And they're also getting a huge grant. I think it's $250,000 to $500,000 for more police officers in the beach area. And David Silva and I both spoke on those topics, and you get to hear us educating the city council, who they certainly could stand some educating. So stay with us for Bathrobe Spears Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
Sleep between them, they don't sleep like the men they can.
Francisco, Mime Troupe, No Hay Centro, Only Left and Right. And now let's go down to Los Angeles for a talk with what's going on down there. Just recently, a significant court decision came out of that area. A judge threw out the panhandling law in Los Angeles, recently passed by the city council down there this summer, over the opposition of the L.A. Coalition to End Homelessness and Hunger. So we called up the coordinator of that coalition, Bob Erlenbush, who has also been one of the key groups, he's been the head of one of the key groups, or one of the coordinators of it, interested in and successful in setting up the California Homeless Civil Rights Action Network, which is a kind of a way of establishing communication between homeless rights groups in different cities in California, and indeed, hopefully, up and down the coast and across the country. We're trying to expand that group. Anyway, Bob tells us about the panhandling decision and other things going on in Los Angeles, where they recently had an election, and they probably have the largest population of homeless people in the state. Okay, we're on the line with Bob Erlenbush of the L.A. Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Robert.
How goes it?
Very cool.
All right. Well, we understand you recently had something of a victory down there in Los Angeles. Even our own hometown Santa Cruz paper reports, I guess it was on the 31st, that, quote, judge says L.A. can't enforce begging ban. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, there was a preliminary injunction against the Los Angeles City's, quote-unquote, aggressive panhandling ordinance. And the judge actually basically agreed with us. Part of our logic going before the city council was that most of ordinance did was already existing law, and that was part of what he, the judge, ruled. And the second part was that the rest of it was unconstitutional anyway.
So what is the status for, let's say, the poor person who wants to ask for spare change on the streets of downtown Los Angeles?
Well, right now the status is there is not against the law.
And was that the case, let's say, in January of this year as well?
I'm right. The ordinance didn't go into effect until later this year, you know, the mid-year anyway. So sort of bookended on one end of the year and the other is that the ordinance, I don't think, was passed until...
Somewhere in the summer?
Somewhere in the summer, you're correct.
So... In Santa Cruz, we've had a similar back and forth with panhandling because of a court decision up in San Francisco.
Right.
The Blair decision, I think it was called, regarding a retired or unemployed Metro bus driver, actually. But in fact, police frequently make their own decisions on the street how to treat homeless people and what to tell them what the law is.
Right, that's a different issue.
What's your sense? Has there been general harassment of poor people who spare change in Los Angeles? Has it been, you know, has there been any alteration? What was the reason for this panhandling law? Was it an attempt to make a real change in policy, or was it?
No. It was totally. I mean, first of all, it was started off by Mayor Reardon, who was running for mayor.
Right. So it's a sort of an election eve thing.
Right. So. You know, it was total election grandstanding. You know, he's had this whole mantra about quality of life issues for Los Angeles City. So, of course, you know, from his perspective, this was a quality of life issue.
Uh-huh. Sort of like the Mayor Jordan of Los Angeles?
From our perspective, that, you know, the real quality of life issues, obviously, are... You know, creating jobs for people and affordable housing, and rather than just criminalizing people who are homeless.
How does it look in terms of the election? I guess that's coming up soon, right?
Well, no, we had the election. We were actually able to make it such a big issue that we stalled it for months and months and months in city council, so it was actually a non-issue when he ran for mayor. But he tried to make it an issue at the point.
And what was the ultimate outcome of the election?
Well, Mayor Reardon was reelected.
Aha. Uh-huh. By a larger majority, smaller majority?
By a majority. It was pretty much a no contest.
And do you anticipate he's going to essentially ignore the homeless issue for the next 4 years until, until the next election, or is it...
Well, ironically, one of the concessions, if you wanted to call it that, that we were able to win was that we actually tried to push them through simultaneously, but the city council wouldn't. Actually, it was split right down the middle. We got a 6-6 vote out of it, which was actually pretty good. What we tried to do was say, hey, if you're going to do this punitive thing, we're against this punitive measure, but B, if you're going to do it, then you have to come up with a proactive policy around trying to address broader issues that this raises around homelessness, like lack of jobs, lack of living wage, lack of affordable housing, etc. So they actually put together like a blue ribbon committee to look into how LA City could beef up its more proactive policies around homelessness.
Now, the federal judge who made this ruling was Judge Richard Paez, is that right?
I believe so.
And is he your standard judge? Is this ruling, in your opinion, likely to stand or will be reversed? What's your sense of where it's going?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And is there a time frame? Is it likely to be put on hold for a number of months or is it a number of weeks? Do we have any sense on that?
The sense of it is that it will be a couple of months before. I know that the LA City Council, Mayor Reardon, said immediately in the paper that he wanted to appeal the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Along with a couple of, but you know how that goes. By the way, by the time it winds its way back to the courts, you know, we'll be into next year.
Do you think Reardon has a real agenda here, or is this just more grandstanding?
Oh, no, this was just to look tough on you know, the most vulnerable of our population, as it is in most cities.
Mm-hmm. In Santa Cruz, we're pushing to put an initiative on the 1998 ballot that will make sleeping per se no longer criminal in public places unless there are other violations of the law. What's the situation in Los Angeles legally? Is it legal for a person to fall asleep on public property?
In Los Angeles City, there are no anti-sleeping, anti-camping laws in LA City. Now, I should say that Mayor Reardon, the anti-panhandling ordinance started off as combo or combination of the most punitive anti-aggressive panhandling proposal in the country. It's, most people didn't realize that there was also a lot of the same language out of Santa Ana.
Uh-huh. What was that language?
The language was to copy Santa Ana's ordinance around anti-sleeping and anti-camping. But we did a lot of work real quick to knock that out altogether.
Uh-huh.
So that was knocked out real quick. So currently, the bottom line is that there is no
So the law is that it's legal to peacefully spare change in Los Angeles.
Right. I mean, part of our point was that you can't do things like follow people and harass them and swear at them, Anyway, that's already against the law, so.
Mm-hmm. And so is it your sense that the police are, in essence, following the law and allowing people their rights, or do you think there's harassment of the homeless downtown anyway around this issue?
I think in general it depends on where, up around some of the more shishy restaurants, people are moved along pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't like a real lot of tolerance among the police, but for the most part, I think it's just moving people along, is what we've heard out on the street.
You said you were able to successfully put off this law for several months, and then what kind of a vote did you get on the LA Council, or LA Board, whatever that was?
Ultimately, I think it was 7-5.
So you had a fairly close vote.
It was a fairly split decision among the board, the Los Angeles City Council.
Mm-hmm. Are there any things like sitting bans or, sitting bans have made the kind of newspapers in San Jose, Palo Alto,
right,
Santa Monica. Is that happening in Los Angeles at all?
Not Los Angeles City.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, that's good news. Any general comments about the state of civil rights for poor people in Los Angeles that we should know about?
Any general comments?
Yeah. For example, is there any proactive action being taken, let's say, to secure a Bill of Rights for homeless people in Los Angeles?
Not exactly.
Mm-hmm. I know that the LA Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness put out a wonderful set of guidelines about panhandling, talking about...
Oh, right. Our
that was about, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
A couple of years ago, yeah.
It was great. I've been trying to pass that on to chambers of commerce wherever I go.
Yeah, we had pretty wide distribution of that. We did another one when the whole issue of encampments came up around safe zones.
Mm-hmm.
One of my staff people, Pete White, has put together a real good sort of self-advocacy card, a Know Your Rights, Know Your Street Rights card.
Mm-hmm. Good for California or good for the U.S.?
No, just for Los Angeles County.
Gotcha.
Right. And so, you know, we're in the process of printing up about 5 or 10,000 of those and getting them out on the streets for people.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do some self-advocacy. Let's see what else. We have put in place, you know, a grievance procedure inside of a local agency. It's the joint authority between the city and the county. So we have a grievance procedure that homeless people, if they think their civil rights or whatever have been violated by shelter providers, have a way to formally grieve the process.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess finally, in a broader, we, along mostly with ACORN, have developed a workers' bill of rights, like for people who are on workfare.
ACORN is... Bob?
I'm trying to think of what ACORN stands for.
It's what is it in fact? What kind of an organization?
It's a grassroots community organizing group.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
So, at any rate, we are working with ACORN to, and they've been very effective at putting together a workfare bill of rights.
Well, that brings us to another subject. Maybe you can comment on it briefly. The impact of the destruction of the welfare safety net and TANF statewide, as well as the governor's latest brouhaha around opening the armories. Any comment on those two issues?
We did great organizing. We bought a full-page ad in the West Coast edition of the New York Times. We put a lot of pressure on the governor to open up the armories. So that was, pretty successful. Most people didn't realize, and we were able to educate our policymakers, that 43% of the total bed nights each year in Los Angeles County are provided by the armory. So they're like a significant part of, the emergency shelter system, up and down the state.
The armories are now open if the weather is sufficiently cold and wet?
Unfortunately, in L.A. today it's about 95 degrees, but theoretically they're open.
And what about the other issue, that of the welfare cuts?
Well, that's a whole much, much broader issue around, how it plays out over the next couple of months. But for the most part, we're doing everything we can to make sure that, because there's two issues. What's allowable within the law to make sure that the counties provide the maximum protection that they can to women and children and illegal immigrants, et cetera, under the law. And then the next point is how to change the law to make it, to make it more... To make it more less punitive than it is now.
In Santa Cruz, there were a number of welfare folks who felt that the county should just opt out of the governor's system because it was such a fraud,
right?
And would bankrupt the county and lead to essentially nothing. What is your sense about Los Angeles and how it affects L.A. County?
Well, I mean, how it affects the country. I mean, 21/5 of the total impact of welfare reform nationally, both TANF and immigration changes for legal immigrants on food stamps, it plays itself out in L.A. County. So 20% of the entire impact of national welfare reform is in our county. So, it's just tremendously, it's like a national laboratory of how to be punitive towards women and children and people on general relief and legal immigrants.
What's your reaction to claims that in places like, Michigan, welfare rolls have been effectively cut, showing in some sense the, quote, success of the program?
Oh, I mean, that's absurd. I mean, my coming back would be prove it. Any governor who claims that, show me where people are living, show me the jobs, show me that they're being paid a living wage, and then I'll believe it. Anything short of that, it just smoke.
In Eureka, you probably know recently the homeless community of the Paradise Beach or South Spit Jetty were evicted in the face of a court settlement that supposedly allowed them to remain on the federal property there until such time as they got permanent housing. And today, on November 3rd, they're about to be evicted from their temporary housing, those of them that are still around in hotels and in a kind of makeshift campground on the North Jetty. Did you have any reaction to that particular situation?
In what way?
In the sense that, I guess, homeless providers throughout the state, some of them have contacted Eureka health authorities and said to them, what are you doing, evicting homeless people in this situation? Because while it's 95 in Eureka, I understand several days ago it was cold and raining. I mean, 95 in Los Angeles, it was cold and raining in Eureka. And these folks have been there for, many of them, for a decade and had their own houses, mobile houses that they, they weren't very mobile, but they had hot and cold running water and they had their own toilets in their houses and their, their vehicles. And now they're out. I'm just wondering, what's your reaction as you look at it from another county? Any comments?
Well, in general, this is just one more way to be punitive to low-income people. I mean, the ideal situation, of course, would be that people would have, not live in substandard housing or feel that they had to live in encampments or whatever, but given that government policy, A, doesn't provide living wages to people, B, doesn't provide any health care, C, doesn't provide affordable housing, and then to swoop into an encampment and dismantle it without any, without any real alternatives is really irresponsible.
Well, we're talking to Bob Ehrlenbusch of the LA Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness. Do I have that right?
Sure do.
Anything else you want to advise us on around issues of civil rights for the homeless in the Los Angeles area?
No, I think we covered a broad array of issues.
Cool. Thank you. That's what's going on down in L.A., according to Bob Ehrlenbusch. Interestingly enough, L.A., as you heard, has no sleeping ban. The same is true of Oakland, by the way. San Jose does have one, and, of course, so does our beloved Santa Cruz, at least until November 1998, when hopefully that matter will be laid to rest, a well-deserved rest by the voters of this city, who will rule that it's okay for people to sleep if they have no legal place to be, and okay for them to cover up with blankets if they're not engaging in other kinds of criminal behavior. Let's return now to Food Not Bombs in San Jose. You, of course, listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And in case you want to get in touch with our station with a public interest announcement or message, 2 minutes we'll give you on the air. Give us a call at 427-4523 and leave a message 2 minutes long or less, and we will broadcast that for the community's notice. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. This is a station that really relies heavily on a few people right now. We used to have a much broader collective, but that didn't work. We kind of lost our lodging. We lost our station for a while there. Now we're coming back, and we're coming back strong. And with your support, hey, maybe we can even become a 24-hour-a-day station again. I think that would be really great. Santa Cruz needs that kind of a station. Right now we're on weekends and evenings. So send your cards and letters, your condolences and your checks, your thoughts and your criticisms to P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Or just call in directly, investing 35 cents, if you can find the money in a local payphone, to 427-4523. If you want to refer to anything that's actually happened on this particular program, and this program is called Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides, I'm Bathrobes, Pierre, Robert Norris, you can leave a message for me at 423-4833, 423-4833, and also... T-shirt or some other colorful costume. I was wearing my bathrobe last night when the police arrested and ticketed me. They didn't actually arrest me physically or take me to jail, but I was briefly held under arrest while I was given this completely bogus ticket. I was like feet from the street. I wasn't really in the park at all, and I was given an opportunity to leave, and other people who were there weren't given tickets, so it seemed that, perhaps I'm a bit paranoid, but it seemed that I was singled out because I had the camera. In fact, the only the guy with the, I didn't have a camera, I had an audio tape recorder in my trusty little machine, and the guy with me, Matt Dodd of the Coalition on Homelessness, had a video camera, and he was given a ticket as well. So only the people with the media were given tickets, which is, I mean, I suppose it's good that the homeless people in that particular group weren't given tickets, but they were running around harassing them big time. As I said, there were jeeps and vans and nobody on horses that time of night. You frequently find cops on horses in Golden Gate Park, but it was quite active, and actually we went into the park again. I and Mara of the Coalition on Homelessness to look for Matt, who had gone stalking police officers with his camcorder, and you know, we get to see spotlights, certain police running around with their spotlights on people and so forth, and really quite a major production. For those of you who have been following it, a completely bogus major production, and we're going to be turning to that after we look at San Jose. San Jose, as I mentioned before, is also attempting to oust its homeless people through sitting bans and now going after food not bombs in St. James Park with threats of arrest. And there was no arrest last night, but we think that on Saturday at 1 o'clock at their meal at 1st and St. John's, St. James Park, between 1st and 2nd actually, on St. John's Street, is where this bust is going to happen, because police have come two weekends in a row and threatened the police, threatened the Food Not Bombs folks with ticketing if they don't stop, claiming that they don't have a permit. So let's go now to San Jose and hear what some of the folks there, the clients, the locals, the activists, had to say about it.
Well, St. James Park is situated, divided by a railroad track and a single lane of road, and lots of cops on horseback, about five or six, four on the, I guess it's the south side of the park or the far side of the park, and a couple others down here, over by, looks like 2nd Street perhaps, not sure. In St. James Park, talking to
Erica.
Erica, you just arrived on your bike. Are you connected with Food Not Bombs?
I don't know.
I mean, do you eat their food?
Well, yeah. When they pass it out to me in the park and I have the munchies, hell yeah.
And how long have they been serving here? You know. Or how long have you been eating
here? A long time. Shit, I don't know. Geez, I don't know.
That's okay.
I can cuss, right?
You can cuss.
Oh, it's fucking right.
So, are you living outside?
Yes,
or,
I am.
And how is that treating you?
The days are nice, but the nights are cold. You know, beer warms you up. Marijuana helps you relax. You know. But
now, you're young. You're attractive. You look vulnerable. Can you take care of yourself?
Yes, I am. I'm dangerous. In fact, I have steel toes and knives and fucking...
So you kick ass.
Sharp little knuckles. Yeah, hell
so
yeah.
So you are in the position where any would-be rapist can just walk right in.
I definitely hope not. If there is a situation like that, I'm going to fight for my life, do whatever I can to get away from it. Hell yeah, but...
How long have you been outside on your own?
Jeez, I've been living on the streets since I was like 12 in Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz?
Downtown Pacific Avenue.
How old are you now?
I'll be 19 in less than a month.
7 years.
Yeah.
And is it getting wearisome being outside, or do you like it?
The more I fry and the more I shroom, it gets kind of weird, but I mean, I stopped messing around with crank when I was about 16. And I don't know, I get drunk a lot, and I get pretty stoned, but I mean, drunk is the worst fucking problem I have now, because I always black out. I suggest you smoking pot.
In Santa Cruz, there's a lot of heroin use.
Yeah.
Is that happening here in San Jose?
I try not to associate with people like that, but I do see it. I don't get too deep into it, but when I do see it, I try to stay away from it. I let them know that I don't approve of it. None of my friends are heroin users. I won't hang out with people like that.
Do you squat?
I squat. Sometimes. When it's absolutely necessary. Sometimes we'll just pass out in the bushes.
In San Jose?
Drunk, yeah.
Now, they have a law against sitting down on the sidewalks in San Jose.
Oh.
Have you been hassled under that law?
They've just told us to get up and leave. You know, first time around. And what is it, be getting up on her, you know, be standing up on her the second time around, so they can't really fuck with us. They'll get us, they'll tell us to get up, and we'll, you know, the second time they drive around, we'll just be getting up, and they'll just be like, oh, okay, they're going. We never really have a problem with that.
So you don't know people who get tickets?
Yeah, I do. I know a lot of my friends get tickets. I got a ticket for urinating in public and carrying an alcoholic beverage the other day from an undercover cop.
Yeah. Are there restrooms, public restrooms you can use if you want to
get a
phone?
Yeah, but I mean, they don't like people social themselves. They don't, no, you didn't purchase anything here. They give us your legs, they treat us like shit, you know, they're all fucked up about it. But I mean, there are public restrooms, but you just get hassled too much. And I think, being my own self, I like to piss in public because I don't like to crawl those little paper shields you put over the toilet. I just like to squat and piss. It's much easier. But,
piss like a woman.
Piss like a woman.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, here we go.
7 years. What's different from when you were killed? How have things changed?
I was a lot more vulnerable when I was about that age, like 12, 13.
Why did you leave home?
When I leave home, I got kicked out of home, sent to a group home, ran away from that, ended up on the streets, Pacific Avenue, Santa Cruz.
How long did you stay in Santa Cruz?
For as long as I could until I got arrested again.
Are you currently in trouble with the law?
No, I'm on probation now. I'm almost 19. I'll be 19 in less than a month. On Pearl Harbor Day, and I'm just chilling.
What are your plans for the future?
I really like to be a marine biologist, or that's my number one dream in life, to be a marine biologist. But I'm kind of slacking right now because I'm smoking too much pot and drinking too much beer. I'm on kind of a vacation right now.
Are you in love?
Yes, I am.
Could that be the reason?
Huh?
Could that be the reason you're slacking?
Well, yeah, I guess. In some ways, you can look it up from that perspective.
But you will return.
I am in love, and I am happy, and I'm kind of taking a break, kind of spilling it right now, you know?
Are you monogamous or polygamous?
Huh?
You believe in a one-on-one relationship?
One-on-one relationship, definitely, definitely.
Just testing.
Okay, no problem. Humble day.
Police were here, I guess, on Saturday. Police harassed Food Not Bombs. Were you here when that happened?
No, not this Saturday. No, I was out of town this Saturday.
Okay.
So
we're wondering if they're going to do that again. That's why we're here.
They probably will, because I've been around here, and they've been most helpful to us.
Food Not Bombs.
Yes.
Not the police.
No, not the... Fuck the police!
A lot of cops on horses around. Is this some sort of... why all these horsey cops?
I know this isn't true whatsoever, but I mean, I hate the police, and I'd like to say anything bad about them as much as I can. They're just torturing the horses right now. That's all they're doing, as far as I'm concerned. They're not helping any. They're just fucking torturing the horses because it's cold weather and animals should be protected.
Well, I guess horses make police look bigger, and they also, I guess there's a certain mobility in the park you can't have in a squad car or something.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. The interview with that woman was yesterday in San Jose at St. James Park, where Food Not Bombs serves every Wednesday at 5 and every Saturday at 1. If you want to be involved, by the way, in resisting upcoming police harassment of Food Not Bombs, and we're afraid that's just what's on the agenda, give me a call at 423-4833. That's 423-HUFF. Headquarters for Santa Cruz's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And you can also give a call directly to San Jose to Lennox and Larry at 257-9424. 257-9424 to help them out, because they may need it. They may need witnesses. They may need folks willing to step in and serve food. They may need people who can see what's going on and testify about it later. That's San Jose Food Not Bombs. We're going to skip back to Santa Cruz for a moment now and our very own police situation down here on the Pacific Mall. We discussed this incident, which I didn't see, but was reported to me, and you're going to hear that report last show, and it involves action by Officer Brandt and his police dog. And here is an account of what happened.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Hello. How you doing?
It's about 9:20 here at Cathcart Pacific. And Jason, you said that you are carrying a complaint to the Internal Affairs Department of our Santa Cruz Police Force.
Correct.
What's this all about?
Officer Brandt threatening to have his canine dog attack me and eat me and tear me up because he can.
So, when did this happen, supposedly?
A couple nights ago.
And where did it happen?
Right here on the corner.
And what were the circumstances?
He walked by with his dog, and my friend went like that, and he walked up to him, and I told him that it's against the law to antagonize a police dog, which is true. But then he told him that if he ever did it again, he was going to let his dog attack him and tear him up. And I told him that's against the law. And he says, "Oh yeah, well I'll let him tear you up too." And he was like right in my face like that. You know, just screaming at me, poking me in the chest with his flashlight, telling me he's going to let his dog tear me up, and da-da-da-da-da. And I just kind of ignored him and let him walk away.
Who was your friend?
My friend Rob. He's not here right now.
And were you a witness to this?
Yes.
And your name, sir?
Gary.
Gary, you going to file a supporting statement to this complaint?
If I must.
Indeed. Again, this was, today is Thursday evening. When was this?
It's probably like, what, Monday? Yeah, like Monday.
And about what time?
About like 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, somewhere in there.
Were you seated or standing when this happened?
I was standing up. And I just told him it was against the law for him to threaten someone with his police dog, because that's like him telling me that he's going to shoot me with his gun because I called him a pig, you know? That's totally against the law, you know? He wouldn't like it very much if I told him I was going to shoot him for calling me a dirty hippie, you know?
Well, and you intend to carry, and you actually have gone to the police department.
Yeah,
you found out.
The police department talked to him. I just need to talk to him and get his badge number and his name and everything,
Officer,
so I can.
Brandt. Actually, the police department knows his badge number.
Yeah, I'd rather ask him so he knows that I'm filing the complaint against him.
Cool. Well, if you
that way, if he tries to intimidate me for it, I can file that on there too.
Keep an eye on this guy. If anything happens to him, call me at 423-HUFF. H-U-F-F. What you saw about this?
Just pretty much what he said. When the dog walked by with the officer and the other partner, the one kid started barking, just nonchalant, woo woo woo, barking. And the cop stopped, came back, and started yelling. And he nonchalantly said, "You can't threaten him with your dog." And he's like, "Oh yeah!" And got about an inch from his face and started screaming on top of his lungs to where the veins were bulging in his temples. And I was just like, "Look at this guy! He's gonna snap." The guy shouldn't even be an officer. If he's not in control of his own behavior, he should not be an officer. Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. Interesting enough, I saw Officer Brandt. It was either that evening or the next night, coming into the coffee roasting company, which he often does. I usually make comments about Officer Brandt and his dog when I see them, because I don't think it's appropriate to have a dog downtown on the mall this way.
First of all, his dog also looks very malnutrition, and I should know, I worked as a vet tech for 3 years. The dog doesn't look like it's fed very well, doesn't look like it's very well taken care of. It's skin and bones. I mean, it's nothing. He doesn't take care of the dog at all. It's very inhumane, the way that he's treated.
Off the record.
On the record. Dogs aren't allowed on the mall. What are dogs doing on the mall?
He's not a dog. He's an officer.
He's an officer of the law. That's how he gets
it. There's a shaggy story.
One day, Officer Brandt walks up to me. He had just gotten his dog. His dog was maybe 3 days old. He goes, looks right at me. He goes, "Would you like to meet my nice puppy?" I was like, "Yes, I would." I let him sniff my hand, scratched him on his head. And the officer saw that I made friends with his dog and freaked out on me. I thought he was going to beat me up.
What did he do?
"Don't you ever touch an officer of the law. I can throw you in jail for that."
How long ago was this?
About right after he got the dog.
Which was
A couple months ago.
But first he invited you to meet the dog?
He offered. He was like, "Would you like to meet my nice puppy dog?" I was like, "Sure." And I reached out, let him sniff my hand. And he sniffed my hand, and I scratched him on his head. And he was like, "Oh, like a dog is, you know?" And then the officer freaked out on me because I made friends with his dog.
He didn't like that.
No,
you're not supposed to be friends.
Exactly.
Dan, how's it going?
Good. How's school going?
All right.
Talk to you a second.
Yes.
Gary? You not only observed this harassment incident with the dog, but you've had yourself problems with a vehicle recently.
Oh, most definitely.
What happened?
I was coming down the one into Santa Cruz about 10 o'clock in the morning, about 2 weeks ago, Monday morning maybe. And when I approached the traffic light on Bay Street, I was right behind a highway patrol officer, but before I came to a stop, I pulled in the lane right next to him and turned right on red. Well, by the time I got to the railroad tracks over by the sewage treatment plant,
on Bay in California,
he was on me and pulled me over. So I pulled over, showed him my driver's license, the registered vehicle registration, and the vehicle is not in my name. It's in a girl's name because I just bought the vehicle. It's still current.
Did he say why he pulled you over?
No.
Yeah,
still current until 1999.
He stated that the reason he pulled us over was that the license plates were reported lost or stolen.
Yeah,
that's the reason he gave.
He said the license plates were reported lost or stolen. So he proceeded to go through the vehicle. They ran our registration. They ran our names, our warrant checks, all that. Let us go. Wrote us a ticket for possession of pot. Took our glass pipes and left.
And took your license plates.
And took my license plates. Well, the next day, Monday, I went into Department of Motor Vehicles in Capitola, gave them my registration, gave them my driver's license, and they checked the record of my vehicle, and they said, there's no reason they should have taken your plates. We can't find anything wrong with it. Those plates belong to that vehicle.
You said the Highway Patrol officer who did this also said something to you before he left.
Yeah, he said we were targets.
He used those words.
Oh, definitely.
He said, you know what a target is? And I'm like, yeah, us now. Since you took our license plates, because now we're driving around in an untagged vehicle, getting pulled over once a day at least.
And are you in fact getting pulled over?
Oh, pretty much, yeah. Well, not actually pulled over, but we've been standing by the vehicle, and cops have asked us about it, and you know, checking if it's stolen or not, run the VIN numbers, write the registration, and they have a report on file that the car does belong to Gary.
And they took a picture.
And
took a picture
of
me next to my Suburban, and to identify me with the vehicle with no plates on it.
So it's fun and games with the police in Santa Cruz and the environs. California Highway Patrol officers, Officer Brand and his dog, keepers downtown in Santa Cruz that really the community has to respond to. And what have we got as a forum to respond to it to? Well, we have the Citizens Police Review Board of the City of Santa Cruz. Pretty sad situation. That's a board that meets once a month, and that's tomorrow, folks. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, you want to talk to the board about what the police have done to you, your friends, or people you don't know, but perhaps don't like what has been done. Come on down at 5:30 and use what's called the oral communications period to speak to that Citizens Police Review Board. That's at City Hall in downtown Santa Cruz, right across from the main library and across from the Civic Auditorium. That's the Citizens Police Review Board. Of course, you can file a complaint against a police officer for misconduct, even one whose badge number you don't know, even if you aren't even personally involved in the incident, but simply observed it. And very few complaints are being filed, I'm afraid. I don't think that it's because there aren't complaints. You hear quite a few complaints on this show, at least half a dozen per month. I would say even more than that, since I do a show now twice weekly. People are afraid to come out and complain. Ironically, they don't mind complaining over the radio. So, if you don't mind complaining over the radio, I encourage you to go to the Citizens Police Review Board and file a complaint, not because you have an expectation, because you shouldn't have an expectation, that the Police Review Board is going to do anything, but rather, as I've often said, to create a record, because we need to establish a paper trail on these guys and on these women, although mostly it's men that are doing this kind of abuse here in Santa Cruz on the police force. I'm also encouraging folks to get involved in a project that I've begun called Know Your Rights. Know Your Rights is essentially a project to prepare a one-page sheet that talks about the rights of folks on the streets in Santa Cruz. And you've probably seen this kind of thing before, distributed by the American Civil Liberties Union or the National Lawyers Guild or other organizations. It talks about you have a right to remain silent, you have a right to have an attorney appointed for you, and so forth. And, of course, these are rights, many people know about them, but there are other rights that folks aren't really too well acquainted with. In fact, even I was surprised to hear some of the rights as discussed by Public Defender Ed Chun, an attorney with the Public Defender's Office of the County, who talked to the Citizens Police Review Board last month. And I called Mr. Chun, and he's agreed to kind of go over this Know Your Rights list and see what he thinks of it. Not as a member of any public agency, but as simply as a private individual. He made some interesting statements. For example, he said that if you're given an infraction ticket, and something like a camping ticket is an infraction ticket, something like a biking ticket is an infraction ticket, the infraction is the lowest kind of ticket. It's the most minor offense. Above it is a misdemeanor, and above that is a felony. If you're given an infraction ticket, police officers have no right to search you. This is something I was never aware of. I thought that any arrest could be the basis for a search, and that an arrest, though you didn't get taken to jail, was actually happening when you were being written a ticket. Now, it is true you are being arrested when an officer is writing you an infraction ticket. However, that is not a custodial arrest, according to Public Defender Ed Chun. Rather, that is a sort of an arrest simply for the purpose of writing, it's a non-custodial arrest for writing a ticket. Hence, police officers have no right searching you. If you're being arrested, police can search you thoroughly. That is their right. However, that whole arrest process puts the police in a situation of some legal vulnerability. If they arrest you improperly, that's a false arrest. And then, presumably, if you have the resources, and if it's blatant enough, or if you have the support, then you can take them to court for that action and get some sort of compensation. And that occasionally happens, though not very often. However, they cannot search you if they are detaining you. And this is really the area where Know Your Rights, the flyer I hope to have out on the street soon, I need some help making if anybody wants to help me out. If you do, give me a call at 423-4833. I need some help making this flyer, and we're going to be focusing on detentions, because that is what's happening up and down Pacific Avenue and in Santa Cruz generally. Police officers do not arrest people when they stop and question them. They, quote, detain them, which means that they essentially say, you can't leave because I've got questions to ask you, or I want to look things over here, and so forth. The only legitimate basis for a detention, according to the public defenders testifying before the Citizens Police Review Board, is to determine if a crime has been committed, and you need a standard of what's called reasonable suspicion, a lower standard than the standard for arrest, which is probable cause. Reasonable suspicion is the standard for detention. And the purpose of a detention is to determine, A, if a crime has been committed, and B, if there is probable cause to arrest you based on some other factors. Like, for instance, if you're accused of shoplifting, you can be detained long enough for somebody to run to the store, bring somebody over to say if you are, they want to identify you as the person. So that's the basis for a detention rather than an arrest. Although, for example, in the case of Ricky Prim, who was arrested at the Cat and Canary and accused of shoplifting, twice arrested apparently. That case is still hanging. I understand he's still looking for a lawyer. Hasn't really heard what's happened. Ricky, if you're listening, call in, please, 423-HUFF. It's sort of a question of some racial discrimination. That's what Prim claimed. The owners of Cat and Canary denied it, and there was a big brouhaha around it. My decision was that he certainly was improperly arrested, and he was owed some kind of compensation, which apparently the owners were unwilling to do. That's another matter. Getting back to this issue of Know Your Rights, the question of detention on the streets is a very important one, because Chen also said some things that show that common police practices in Santa Cruz are improper. For instance, he stated that if a police officer wants to pat you down for weapons, which police officers frequently do, he has to have articulable facts that would indicate he can reasonably believe you may be a threat to his armed and dangerous. Actually, that was the phrase that was used. You are armed and dangerous. If he has no specific facts to support this, like, say, a report you had a gun, he cannot pat you down, even on a detention. Again, if you're arrested, you can be thoroughly searched as well as pat down. So when a cop says, I'm detaining you and I'm just going to pat you down for weapons and ask, mind if I pat you down, you can say, no, I do mind, unless you can specify why you think I'm armed and dangerous. Tell me why you think I'm armed and dangerous. If he can't do that, the pat search is illegal, according to public defender Ed Chun. So these are all facts, I think, that should be much more widely known in Santa Cruz on the Avenue by young and old alike, particularly by the young, because the young are getting the big hassle these days downtown. You cannot be patted down, period, unless the officer has specific facts that he wishes to state that lead him to believe you are armed and dangerous. He can't just pat you down for the hell of it as a matter of procedure or policy. Again, that's unless he's arresting you, then he can pat you down and search you. If he does have reason to believe you're armed and dangerous, according to public defender Ed Chun, he has the right to pat you down for weapons, but he cannot put his hands inside pockets. He cannot feel around the shape of items in order to search for contraband. So if any of that happens, and for example, you're being subject to a search, you should say in a loud, clear, but unthreatening voice, I am being illegally searched. I'm not being patted down. The officer is feeling inside my pockets, if he is, and the officer is groping about looking for items which he has no right to search for. Now, A lot of this, and a lot of my concern around this, is that if we were living in a society where there was an armed secret society devoted to, let's say, killing Jews, or killing non-Muslims, or doing something horrendous like that, and we're carrying around a lot of secret weapons, and there was some basis for some kind of martial law, or suspending the Constitution, or even giving police more power, I would tend to be much more sympathetic, because there would be a real justification for this kind of behavior by police. But we aren't living in that kind of society. We're living in a society where the reasons that police do this have to do with the fact that they're under orders from merchants and politicians who want to establish a certain, quote, quality of life downtown. That's part of it. Another part of it is we're under a system of drug prohibition whereby it is illegal for people to use, possess, sell, or cultivate what authorities choose to call drugs. Some of us call herbs, but indeed we can also talk about drugs, so-called hard drugs, like heroin, amphetamines, crack, and so forth, drugs that have limited positive uses. But the question of whether the entire country should be turned into a police state, and millions of people put in jail around this issue, and civil liberties essentially cut down to a fraction of what they were, is a question to which I have a clear answer, and many of us do, and the answer is no. There is no justification, and drugs becomes the justification for expanded police power, and also then becomes the basis for funding police departments. In a way, this is a whole different issue than poverty. But because it gives the police the power to hassle people for poverty, and because people who are poor are often those who, to make money, sell contraband substances like drugs, it's an issue that I have to raise. And I'd like to raise the issue of the rights of folks on the mall, because, hey, I see too much police abuse happening, too much improper policy, and I don't think unless we raise our voices really loudly on this issue and really clearly that we're going to get any changes, and we need changes on this issue. So if you're interested in being a part of this Know Your Rights project, helping me put together a simple handout that articulates what the rights of a person is, what those rights are on the street, give me a call at 423-4833. 423-4833. When the carpenters quit, this was only a shell. I want to make it my own, so I'm working like hell. Work the genie plant till 11 or 12. And I'm home hanging sheep, rocking, working on the trim. When the plant lays me off for a hard rock scoop, I make a job at a club and I'm dancing for a week. It's the way to make a living, but the kids gotta eat. And I always seem to make my own way. You better take me as you find me, just cause you find me from me. If you can't take the way you find me, you can just leave me alone. I put a lot of living behind me. Seems a hard time, baby. You better take me as you find me. Close my door, hand me alone. Driving home from the swing ship, I need a vacation. Mom pulls me over, one more aggravation. Let me see the license and registration. Roll up behind that building over there. It's getting red in the winter, start making moves on me. Come back, Jack, you know you don't scare me. I'd like to tell your story to some jewelry. Leave them in the dust, make a weary way home. You better take me as you find me. Just cause you find me, don't mean you can take me. If you can't take the way you find me, thought you'd better leave me all alone. I put a lot of living behind me. Seems a hard time, baby, baby. You better take me as you find me. Leave me my door and me alone.
How much do you weigh?
I would say 230.
Okay.
please don't tell anybody.
Your hair is gray?
Gray-brown. It's getting grayer.
And what color are your eyes?
Brown. Brown.
Okay, now. Been arrested in San Francisco?
I have.
Frank 67, can I run a subject, please?
Time for you, ready?
Last name Norris. No.